Congressman Adam Kinzinger is joining us right now.
What a lovely intro song.
Thank you very much. I thought we'd do something a little romantic for you. And fun and whimsical. The district you represent is just south of I-80, essentially, and then it runs downstate to near Bloomington. Then it turns right, and then it goes over to 39, then goes up to Rockford. It's the craziest looking thing you've ever seen in your life. But that's so he basically represents the entire state of Illinois. All right, let me ask you two things. One, before we get to the whole violence thing, because I know that you have some thoughts on that. I have some thoughts on that. And I want to talk it out with you. But stimulus checks. Yesterday, we were talking to one of your Illinois counterparts on the other side of the aisle, Raja Krishnamurthy, and we were talking to him about the stimulus checks. Democrats have one idea for what the next round of stimulus checks should look like. Republicans, some are even conflicted about whether there should be another round. But for those who think there should be a round, what should it look like?
Well, I think, you know, we don't just want to get into the handing out checks thing. And this is to both sides, because I think this is a tendency of the president to want to do this, too, right before an election. And same with the Democrats. You know, anytime you hand out these checks, it has an impact on the budget that, our kids and grandkids have to pay for. So we have to be careful. I think we should let the data drive it. I mean, if it comes down to, and it's probably going to be likely that there'll need to be another round, probably, I'm going to guess, end of July or August. But I think the best thing we can do right now is just, everything we can to get the economy going. Because no stimulus check. I mean, everybody who got a stimulus check, it was great at the moment you got it. And then, it's basically gone. And the best thing is a good job. So I think that should be our real focus. I think stimulus checks are an easy way out and an easy way to go to the voter and just say, look what I did. I got your money. But it's your money anyway. So I think if we do it, let the data drive it. And it'll probably be fairly similar to what we saw the first time, I would imagine.
Hopefully, though, the $1 billion that went off to people who are no longer with us and other mistakes that were made along the way have gotten fixed in this, do you think?
Yeah, but see, I'll tell you this much. So yes, but the Congressional Budget Office came out, and they're nonpartisan. They said that the implementation of the stimulus as well as the payroll protection program, they were actually very highly commending the process of getting out. Yes, you're always going to find mistakes that are made when you have something so big and so quick that needs implemented. But they were actually saying that, given those constraints, it was done really well. There's always going to be mistakes. I think there's mistakes every year in regular tax returns that are predicted. But, obviously the least we can do, the far better on that.
Okay. Well, let's hope. We've talked about this ad nauseum, and Terry Savage is going to join us a little bit later on the program. She's been with us almost every week since this whole Paycheck Protection Program and then the other programs, the stimulus and all the rest of it has gone into effect. And there have been a lot of there have been some missteps because it got thrown together so quickly. I mean, you work in government or any kind of big business that would try to do something and turn on a dime like that. You know, there are going to be mistakes made, and there were. And then there is this audit now of businesses that might have gotten the Paycheck Protection Program money, and to the tune of a lot of money, and they're now giving some of it back because it looks bad for them. What do you make of all of that?
Well, I mean, look, we wrote the rules. The rules then were interpreted, I guess, by the agency. And you can always expect something like this. So anytime a program goes out, a big company that gets it, it's going to be controversial. We hear about companies that were associated with members of Congress, even though they basically stepped away from the company. In a political year, you're going to have that. But I think, look, if a company doesn't need it and they're, and the PR bothers them and they can give it back, give it back. Because, obviously that reduces the deficit and it's good. But, bottom line is if somebody took something illegally and they knew it, obviously they should be prosecuted. But from a PR perspective, I just think on something like this, everybody's quick to kind of jump into the political side of it. And, that's to be expected. But I mean, look at even, the healthcare law, Obamacare, regardless of your feelings of that, it was phased in over 3 years because it took a long time to get it right. And there were still mistakes on the rollout. So, yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible thing when it happens, and we should keep it as small as possible.
Right, trying to do it in 5 weeks was a big undertaking. Right. Hey, the other piece I saw, I was reading this yesterday, I found this fascinating. There are a lot of those paycheck protection checks went out to small businesses that were asking for under $60,000, and there's no way to actually figure out if they hired their employees back or they didn't. So it's basically almost the honor system for those, and that's a lot of the money. That's a big chunk of the total amount that went out. And my understanding, according to the story I read, there's no auditing potential for that. They won't even be able to figure that out. The government won't be able to figure that out to claw back some of that money if it was misused.
Yeah, I don't know much about that, because as you mentioned, this is, from what I understand, in essence, that came out yesterday. Yeah. It'll be interesting to find out. You know, I did vote to, you know, make public who received the payroll protection program. There were concerns with that, but you know, yeah, it's certainly going to be it's going to be interesting. But I mean, everybody I talked to that took it, you know, even if on the honor system, they assume they'd obviously be audited anyway. They did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, well, that's the same, right? Because that's what we know. People always do what they're supposed to do. All right, Congressman, hold on 1 second. We're going to come right back. Don't move. Okay. I want to ask you about the National Guard and whether we should be bringing them back into Chicago to deal with some of this violence. So hold on 1 second. We're talking to Congressman Adam Kinzinger, and we'll take your phone calls. That's the most important thing. Your thoughts on that or whatever else. You want to ask a congressman a question? You can do it. 312-981-7200. But first, here is our friend Lauren Lapka. She's looking at the roads and the skies, which are getting darker. Congressman Adam Kinzinger is with us, and I know that you've had some thoughts on how we can start to stem the violence here in Chicago. We've been talking about this in the city of Chicago for as long as I have been alive in the city of Chicago, and that's a long, long time. And we haven't gotten to an answer. We did over the beginning of the summer when we had the civil unrest here. The National Guard was called up, and that worked fairly well to pacify and to cut off some of the looting that was going on. It's not so much about the protests, it was about the looting, it was about the lawlessness. Now, I have never been a proponent of using the National Guard. As you know, I grew up in a Guard family. You are National Guard, your Air Guard was my dad. The idea of using guardsmen and women to actually, you know, be on the streets was always very controversial, even within the walls of the Illinois National Guard. Is it time that we relook at that?
So, yes, but I think it's with a caveat. So, as you mentioned, the Guard plays an important role, especially in, like, a violent surge. So, basically, when, you know, the riots, right, mm-hmm. protecting buildings, that kind of stuff. The Guard, and I know it's got an especially negative connotation because of Chicago in 68, right? And but the new Guard, so the Guard nowadays, the role isn't so much to go out on the streets with batons and patrol. It's more to fill, you know, areas that police have to work that some, you know, a guy standing there in a uniform can do the job. So, you know, manning barricades, for instance, to allow a police officer that's otherwise manning that barricade to actually go out and, you know, practice his or her skill set in policing. So I think, yes, there is a role. And I think, you know, even using the Guard in a time when you have a lot of violence, but there's not riots, maybe to man some areas in a police station, for instance, whether that's answering phones, taking incoming, that kind of stuff, to allow every uniformed officer to go out. So I think that's one thing. But I think bottom line, no matter how many Guard, how many police you have on the street, it's really an issue of the heart, and it's an issue of opportunity. You know, there are areas of Chicago where it's impossible to find a job, where a lot of times young men join gangs because they feel like that's the only way they can be safe. And it's a vicious cycle, because you join a gang to be safe, but that prolongs this gang stuff. And the way is for the community and for the economy to give opportunity and hope to people. I think of a good friend of mine in Aurora, Illinois, that has a program called Tuskegee Next, and it takes young African-American men and women, and it teaches them. He teaches them to fly airplanes, because up until the pandemic, there was a massive need for pilots, and there will be again. Yeah. And it's taking somebody out of an environment and saying, here's an opportunity for you. You can do it.
That's a great idea. Ben, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Ben.
How you doing, Ro? Congressman, I appreciate you taking my call.
Ben?
I'm on. Marine Corps veteran that was in Beirut, Lebanon. This is what kind of I don't understand. And a lot of veterans up here in the Northwest suburbs state the same way. I was born and raised in the city, by the way. So when you have, for instance, the National Guard, you deploy them out in the city or wherever in the state. The first thing that people are going to do, if they're driving, they're coming up in the corner, and they see all the military personnel and their units, mm-hmm. They're going to be afraid, first of all, okay? Anybody that hasn't been in the military would say, oh, we better not go this way because the guard is there. Or we better not do this because the guard is there. They are there to protect us. That's their job. Deploy them, Congressman. Forget about the politics, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're Republican, whether you're an independent. Like I tell a lot of my friends up here, we serve so that you have those three choices. And you have as much of the right not to vote as you you want to vote.
Right.
But that's still their right.
Yeah,
that is their right.
Yeah, Ben, I have to say, I don't know that I would have agreed with you a year ago or 2 years ago, but I don't disagree with you. I'm not quite 100% there yet, but I'm pretty close. Because the idea, and I saw it firsthand, is they were cordoning off. They were using the guard to cordon off the green zone, essentially, that they built here around Chicago's downtown and businesses during the height of the unrest. And yes, people were incredibly respectful of it. And they didn't have long guns with them. They had sidearms. These are MP units primarily. But they do have troop carriers that are in that desert tan. And they're wearing the uniforms. They got the body armor on. But they're not, they don't have like an impressive or scary looking weapons with them. But they do have that presence that is different. And they were there with state troopers, and they were there with local police, in this case, Chicago police. And it seemed to be a solution that worked very quickly in that moment for exactly that reason, for the looting. Now, going into a neighborhood, we're going to get the argument. This is where the rubber would hit the road here. But you're going to get an argument if you put those troop carriers and those folks into a neighborhood, and they're going to go, well, now you're occupying my neighborhood. Why are you doing that? And that's not protecting my neighborhood. And that's where the argument would be.
I want to say on that row, and Ben, thanks for your service, by the way. And you're right. Like you and I were talking on the phone when this was going on, and we were talking about the guard. And Mayor Lightfoot said, we're not going to use the guard initially because she said it's intimidating. It's exactly meant to be intimidating. That's the point, is because in a heightened moment like that, you need some intimidation to stop things like looting. But I think the other thing is people need to understand what the guard is. The guard at that moment, even though, in the last 20 years, the majority of us have been actually Title 10, so federal, and going and fighting wars. When they're in that moment, they're actually acting as law enforcement, even though they have different uniforms because of their authority. So even though they're in there with uniforms that look like it's a military occupation, in reality, they're actually there as police officers. It's a constitutional thing, but it's a big difference in terms of the point, that the reason that they're there.
Yeah. You make a very important distinction that I think gets lost on most civilians and politicians, too, that don't understand mm-hmm. the difference between federalized guard and what state guard does. If a state guard, if the governor calls out the let's just say the National Guard, the Army Guard, to go out and help on a flood, with sandbags and things like that, you see that often in natural disasters. Great. Okay. We understand what that is. That's really not a law enforcement. That's just extra hands on the ground. But when you go out, and I know that, this was in the news a couple of weeks ago, specifically about you. I mean, you go and you fly in an airplane for the Wisconsin National Guard, actually, that is an intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance aircraft that is monitoring things on the ground, an eye in the sky, essentially, to help. And mm-hmm. then you integrate with local law enforcement to help them either get to, you were doing this for years with, with meth labs, border security, all kinds of things. And that is the Title 10 you're talking about. And that's completely legal and constitutional.
Yeah. So when I was in Iraq doing this, we also had different equipment on the plane. We were acting, in a war capacity. When we're doing this over the city of Minneapolis during all this, mm-hmm. we actually have the same equipment as basically a police helicopter. And it's them right. saying, look, we need extra equipment. We don't act as an independent military unit. We are acting on behalf of law enforcement.
Right, got it. All right, Congressman, thank you very much. Thank you for your service.
Anytime.
I have to keep saying that to you, whether I mean it or not. Thank you. I appreciate it.
See you, brother.
Okay, goodbye. There it goes. There it goes, the Congress. All right, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Alderman Ray Lopez is going to be here. His house got bricks thrown at it. We'll hear his side of the story coming up after the news in 2.